Mike Francesa, who is, of course, a legend at this radio station, still active, does a podcast, he's on social media. We all love and respect Mike Francesa. On Twitter, he follows two people. He follows his sons.
Mm-hmm.
Makes complete sense. But he doesn't follow anyone else. There are some on Twitter who do that. They don't follow a lot of people. Jay Billis does that?
Jay Billis doesn't follow a single person.
Interesting. I think Skip Bayless does that as well. So it's a very...
Turn my mic off!
Whatever. That's what Mike does. Follows two people. His two sons. Yesterday, at 4:55 p.m., he followed a third person. That person works at WFAN.
Is that a new report or an old report?
Is that person Boomer Esiason?
That would make sense.
It is not. Huh. Is that person Greg Giannotti?
That would not make sense.
Yeah. No, it is not. Maybe it's Al. It's not Al Dukes. Some would argue it's me. I had a good relationship with Mike.
Uh-huh.
It is not me. Would it be Tiki Barber?
That would make sense.
Not Tiki Barber. Huh. Would it be a generational talent like Tommy Lugauer? It does not. So then it leads to, well, it's got to be Big Mac.
I mean, McGonagall.
Big Mac worked with him. He now occupies a half of a chair that Mike used to sit at. Like, Big Mac makes a lot of sense.
He'd have to spell his last name right on Twitter.
McGonagall.
It is not Chris McGonagall. Ladies and gentlemen, the third person that Mike Francesa now follows on Twitter is Sean Morash.
Thank you, thank you. And I have just checked in this break. He has unfollowed me already.
What?
He's unfollowed me.
So what does this mean? It was a mistake?
I view that, and I thought this was going to be the case, but I kept it low profile. I sent the screenshot to Evan right away. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Here's the screenshot of my kids. Mike Francesa just started following you. The three follows. I think Mike did what a lot of us do. He throne scrolled. He was on the toilet, scrolling Twitter. And I think he saw a tweet of mine. I had a tweet that kind of went bonkers the last 2 days.
What was the tweet about? I want to see if it would be interest Mike.
It was, I knew the Ravens were missing the kick when John Harbaugh appeared on the screen in what appears to be the same boots I bought my wife for Christmas. What a picture of the boots.
You think that's something Mike would appreciate?
You know how Twitter works right now, right? When an algorithm happens, he probably is following a lot of NFL stuff.
That's why. You're a fool.
I think he accidentally clicked follow. It lived overnight. But I have woken up now.
Oh,
he has unfollowed me again.
That's a
gorilla.
That's a buzzkill.
It is a buzzkill.
I thought, and I was coming up with all these theories on why Mike would follow you, because Mike, about a year ago,
thought I was Chris.
That's true.
Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe he did. But remember, he got upset with an opinion you had. He never directly would mention you by name, but specifically those that were pissed about Clark Schmidt being pulled with the no-hitter.
And those was just me.
It was just Sean. Like, literally, he was the only guy, and he was very passionate about it. And so Mike spent a good amount of time, and I thought it was a brilliant rant, dissecting you or that opinion. So we all came to the conclusion, it's Mike ripping you, but he's not going to mention you by name. So I've gotten the impression that he just doesn't like you very much.
I don't know if he doesn't like. I respect Mike, but maybe he doesn't. I don't know. He could maybe doesn't care for my test. He told you he doesn't like me? Is that what happened?
I haven't talked to Mike in like 2 years.
Huh.
It was a good conversation, though. I asked him to come on. He said no.
Amazing. Yeah, if you told me in 2013 Mike Francesa followed you on Twitter, what a big thrill. And it was. For last night, I went to bed on a high note. I said, you know what? Pete Hoffman's worse at running the board than me, and Mike Francesa follows me.
Gorilla.
Well, congratulations. At least you had a little bit less than 24 hours of being followed by Mike Francesa.
Uh-huh.
On that note, it's time for a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted on Evan and Tiki.
What happened? We got rid of Clyde already?
I forgot what it used to sound like.
It used to be that, except Walt Clyde said Posted and Toasted.
Tommy hid that one.
It's all right. That's a Tommy Lugauer problem. No big deal.
Posting and toasting.
Thank you, Clyde. Here is the first tweet, and it is from someone who works here at WFAN, and Sean will guess. It's from March 7th, 2023. Joe Shane is an American hero. Joe Shane is an American hero.
March 7th, 2023, so this is free agency following the playoffs. Huh. Can I guess without you giving me candidates?
I think you're so good at this, I don't want to give you candidates.
It's me.
You are correct, sir.
Huh.
It is you. Why were you calling Joe Shane an American hero in March of 2023?
Did we trade for Darren Waller?
Was that what it was about?
I was so pumped when they traded for Darren Waller. What a clown.
I understand. American hero. Wow. Okay.
Well, they made the playoffs in 1 year. Now he's trading for Darren Waller. Oh, or maybe that was he signed Daniel Jones.
Was that
and
it?
And franchise tag Saquon.
Maybe that was it. Either way, whatever
managed
he did.
To keep both.
whatever he did, I don't think warranted American hero. Here you are, 2.5 years later, and you want the man fired?
Yeah, no doubt.
This one is from January 2nd, 2013, so we're almost at the anniversary of it, a little past it. I wonder how all those frozen yogurt shops that popped up everywhere over the summer are doing now that it's January.
Al Dukes.
Yes. You are correct. That is Al Dukes.
I love this game.
It's a great observation, by the way, because it's so true. Like, how are they doing?
I've often wondered how Ralph's survives.
I know. Well, here's the thing about Ralph's.
They close.
They close.
But and they got to pay rent.
It bothers me that they close. Because here's my point. So a few days ago, I took my oldest son, Jet, to get ice cream. He was very excited. Why did we have ice cream when it was 20 degrees outside? Because we're not eating outside. We're eating inside.
I never understood that. Ice cream works all year round.
So why do we need to close Icy's or ice cream places just because it's cold outside? We're not eating outside. We're buying it. We're going home. It's warm at home. Yeah, it's the same temperature as if it would be in the middle of July. So I don't understand why anyone closes.
Do you only eat hamburgers in the winter because it's hot out in the summer when you cook them? It doesn't make any sense.
Zero sense. This one is from September 17th, 2013. There's been a couple of times I thought about trying my dog's food out of curiosity, but I have always thought better of it. Which of our fellow coworkers has given the thought of eating dog food?
But I've always thought better of it. I'm going to go Greg Giannotti.
Damn, you are on fire today. That is Gio.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, good. I knew you weren't going to throw me for a loop with back-to-back Al's.
All right. Here's our last one of the day, November 18th, 2022. I wish Elon Musk liked NFL football and bought the Jets and ran them the same way he's running Twitter. We'd have our own badass stadium and win a Super Bowl within 2 years. Just not sure who our quarterback would be.
Ooh, this is a controversial one because not a lot of people like the Twitter change.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a Jet fan. Who works here that's a Jet fan?
Oh, jeez.
Outside of you. Because Boomer wouldn't put that up.
You don't think Boomer would tweet that he wished Elon Musk bought the Jets?
He tweets something about Elon Musk, not about buying the Jets. I'm going to go with you, Evan.
It is not me. You're wrong.
Really?
For the first time, Craig Carton.
Oh, I gotta put that one in my head.
Yeah, which makes me think you're right. Like, me and him are the only Jet fans now at the station.
That makes sense.
Well, there you go. You did pretty well. You got 3 out of 4.
I'll take it.
So good job out of you. Every Tuesday at 11:30, it's Posted and Toasted.
Better win percentage than Josh Lee.
Let's go to, wow, that sounds crazy. Dean in Asbury Park. What's going on, Dean?
How you doing, guys? I just got a side here with Sean. Out of all the candidates, Stefanski, they all have warts. Stefanski, you could deal with. One thing I think he's glossing over, Evan, is how difficult a division he's been in and being just the coach of the Browns puts you behind the eight ball because that franchise is so badly run. He's in a division with Harbaugh and Tomlin, who are two Hall of Fame coaches and perennial power. Like, to make the playoffs twice, to win two coach of the years with that. And oh, by the way, Joe Burrow is a quarterback on the other team. It's made a Super Bowl. I think you're glossing over that a little bit. I think that has a lot to do with why he hasn't had more success. And I think he's had as much success as you could possibly have.
Well, as the coach but you mentioned the toughness of the division, which changes year to year, like this year. Was the AFC North a good division this year?
It was not.
So I don't think that flies this year.
And you better do better than he did with the Browns in this division. That's also tough, the NFC East.
But the NFC East and the AFC North, I think, are great proof about how it just moves year to year and you can't see it coming. Like, the NFC East, with the emergence of Jaden Daniels after his rookie year of going to the NFC Championship game, with Jalen Hurts winning a Super Bowl, with the Cowboys, who really until the last couple of years have been perennial winners and have a lot of talent on their roster before they decided to trade stupidly, Michael Parsons. Like, this felt like a loaded division. And look what ended up happening this year. So
this is where
we form these opinions on divisions, and then the NFL humbles us. Like, the NFC East was not nearly as good as we thought it would be.
Counterpoint, I think we're kind of finding out as the way the season ends. We were probably cart before the horse here on Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield being really good as a coach and quarterback combo.
Well, I think they look good the first 8 weeks of the season.
I understand that.
They got off to a wonderful start.
And they've made the playoffs these last couple of years as the remnants of that Arians team is thrown off. My point would be, if Stefanski was coaching the same way in the NFC South, the way we view him, he probably has a better win percentage than he does coaching in that division with Cleveland. I do believe that. Who do you think is a better coach, Todd Bowles or Kevin Stefanski?
So different.
They are different.
who would I rather hire is very different than who's better.
Okay. But do you, okay.
I can't believe I'm answering it this way. I kind of lean towards Todd Bowles.
Okay, but you don't think that we'd
and I Stefanski? Obviously had my issues with Todd, but I think the second stop, like, gives me, for me at least, that's why I give him the edge.
Okay, and I don't think Bowles has done a bad job, but I do think if Todd Bowles was coaching in the AFC North, like he said, I don't think we're viewing him the same way.
Who's done a better job with Baker?
I mean, I guess Bowles, but he's also had Liam Cohen and Canales.
Yeah, no. That's not fair because a part of why you like coaches is who they hire.
Yeah, no,
so
no,
now you're,
right.
you're diminishing.
I walked that back.
We had this guy. He hired that guy. That's a good thing.
I walked that back. You're right. You are right about that. Although I think leaning now as we end the season, we have vastly overrated Baker Mayfield. Vastly.
The end of this season was humbling.
I think Baker Mayfield in a much better division doesn't look as pretty as he's looked in the South.
Let's go to Jim in Johnson City, Tennessee. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, fellas, what's happening?
What's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Congratulations. Congrats on the show. I'm with Morash. I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, and if you want to sign up for 12 wins and a first-round exodus of the playoffs, hey, have at it.
McCarthy's, you know what?
Just not
sign
it,
me up,
man.
The way you put
okay.
it, yes.
I think Stefanski's had a raw deal in Cleveland. Look at his quarterback situation. What has he had to deal with? The Watson.
Yep.
Hold all that debacle. I mean, he's done a heck of a job with two coaches of the year to be in that kind of a situation. And McCarthy, man, he's a player's coach. He's a good old boy. He's a what is it? Pillsbury Doughboy. Poke him in the stomach and he goes, hee hee. I mean, he's just.
That reminds me of Sean. Like, I think Sean kind of fits that.
A Pillsbury Doughboy?
Boomer, or it may have been Gio. I forget which one said it, but one of you said that you're like a stuffed animal.
A stuffed animal?
Yeah. He's fat. Well, no, not that. Just that you're very huggable.
I saw a belly.
It wasn't like a mean comment. It was like, I think Boomer said he saw you, because obviously we see these guys, we haven't seen them in years, just based on the hours.
He gave me a neck massage today.
Well, he said, like, I just saw Sean and it made me smile. Like, you are the kind of person that brings smiles to people.
That's good.
I'm the kind of person that makes you want to walk the other way.
All the time. All the time.
Like, you see me, you're like, I'm going that way. I don't want to do a sports talk radio show outside. But I think with you, you're a stuffed animal. I think that's what it ended up being, like, you're a stuffed animal.
That seems like a compliment. I will say Boomer has changed my mindset on something.
What's that?
I'm more open to a male-on-male massage now than ever.
It was that good?
It was so good this morning. Like, he made me tingle.
Really?
He just did, like, one of those, like, you ever go up to somebody at a desk and you just kind of, like, rub their shoulders. But, hey, what's going on, big guy? He lasted, like, a 2 extra minutes longer than he had to during a break today. There was movement. And I would be more open than ever to having a male-on-male massage if it's a man as big as Boomer. With his hands.
Is it weird now if I ask him for one?
No.
I think it moved.
My back kills me. And if you're telling me Boomer gave, like, the greatest two-minute massage, I'm kind of jealous.
I know people listen going, like, oh, hokey radio bit. No, I'm not talking about a radio bit. Like, I felt so calm and unbelievably in that 4 minutes that Boomer
I think it moved.
I mean, he's got big hands.
And there was no oil. It was no bare skin. It was just his raw hands on top of 3 shirts, and I felt invigorated.
Wow.
And he knew that. I told him. I go, Boomer, that's one of the best massages I've ever had.
What was his response?
Big hands, Tubbs.
Oh, for what I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, good for you, man. That's a good way to start the morning.
You should try it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not a big massage guy, but you have me intrigued based on how good it felt.
It was so good.
I'm full-on erotic.
If I took off my clothes and got on a table, I think an hour with Boomer would be incredible.
All right. Did you ask him about the Ranger game he still owes you?
I'm not doing that now.
Because now is the perfect time to bring it up since you see him.
Is it after the Mammoth won in overtime this time? Is it a perfect time? Shesterkin's laying there?
It has nothing to do with Shesterkin being hurt. Hopefully he's okay. It has to do with the fact that he promised you a Ranger game. He didn't come through on it. You feel weird bringing it up, but because you never saw him. Like, it would be odd to just text him and be like, hey, what about the Ranger game? You, when you're in the newsroom, can see him every day. So it's easy to just be like, hey, by the way, boom, no rush, no big deal, whip out a loogie, no biggie. Oh, we still doing that Ranger game, and maybe you can give me a massage in between periods.
You know what? Give me a couple more weeks to ease back into Boomer's life.
All right, fair enough.
I will.
Fair enough.
Real quickly, Evan, the Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. We've been talking a lot about the Knicks and Pistons last night. Good news, Knicks fans, though, your biggest villain may be on the move. Reports say Trae Young and the Hawks are working toward a divorce and trade from Atlanta. And if Knicks fans are worried he could go to a playoff threat like Detroit, don't. Right now, Washington Wizards are the favorites to land the modern-day Reggie Miller.
Now, do you know why that is unbelievably amazing news if it happens?
Why?
Trae Young in Washington would be insane news for the Knicks fan. Because the New York Knicks own the Washington Wizards first round pick, 1 through 8 protected. The more the Wizards win, the more likely it is that that pick won't be protected and will belong to the New York Knicks.
Ooh.
And it could be a really good pick. Like, they're picking 11th. That's yours. So the Knicks have a chance to own a significantly awesome draft pick, and Trae Young going to Washington only helps that, which leads you to wonder if you're the Wizards and you know about this protection. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to improve your roster too much this season when it's not the difference between picking 3rd and 9th like the Nets are, or 5th and 7th? It's the difference between having the pick and not having the pick.
I think it's apathy in that fan base in Washington. The Wizards have been dead for so long.
They just want to win.
Exactly. Or at least just make the team fun and excited, get people back in that building again.
But I will tell you again, Knicks fans, root for him to go to Washington, because if the Wizards win more games, that can absolutely benefit the Knicks in a huge way when it comes to that draft pick and the protections that are currently on it. Let's go to Bob down in Florida. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Evan, I'm glad I got you. Just to give you a quick heads up, Vero Beach has opened up its airport from a direct flight from there to Westchester Airport.
What? Oh, my God. That's huge news for spring training. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Within the next year or so, Fort Pierce is going to be doing the same thing.
Nice.
So
thank you.
It's really open.
Wow.
And like I said, they got direct flights to Boston, to Westchester, to LaGuardia.
That's great.
And I think to D.C. too. But anyway, so I just want to call up and put my 2 cents in for the Giant head coach vacancy. I like the guy that they have right now. My eyes tell me that these guys want to play for him. The last 3 games, what do you think happened with Abdul Carter? All of a sudden, there was a fire lit under this guy. Just because they fired a defensive coach, you think?
Well, Bob, I think that is, if you want to point to a positive from Mike Kafka, the way he handled Abdul Carter and whatever the heck Abdul Carter was doing, being late for meetings, and if he was kind of getting away with a lot of stuff under Brian Daboll, that is the biggest feather in the cap of Mike Kafka, is that wake-up call he gave Abdul Carter seemingly saved the end of Abdul Carter's rookie year. That is the one positive.
Yeah, well, he brought it up. Give him credit.
Yeah, I absolutely
agree. I think that is an absolutely fair point. Despite me agreeing with you, Sean, I would not want to bring Mike Kafka back. I didn't think he did enough to warrant me thinking he's the answer. That is absolutely a little check mark next to his name. You make a pro-cons list. These are the pros. These are the cons. He needed to do. And you know what also I think it does? It makes Daboll look bad. It really does, especially when you hear that this was a problem long before Kafka took over.
Yes.
And this head coach really didn't do anything about it.
No, absolutely. But if you're keeping Kafka and thinks he did a good job, then Shane should be fired, because that means the roster wasn't good enough with the job Kafka was doing.
Brendan in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Sean, I got to take exception with you a little bit on a point you made earlier. You were talking about, if it comes down to it, if Kevin Stefanski was going to dictate to the Mariners, like, hey, I'll come here, but it means getting rid of Shane.
Yes.
I don't, who is Kevin Stefanski? I mean, he's not Bill Parcells or Don Shula. Like, he's a good coach.
Brendan.
But for him to come in and dictate who the GM is?
Brendan, who the hell is Joe Shane?
I understand, but the Giants already made the decision that they want to bring Joe Shane back.
All right, Brendan, are you aware of the year? Hold on, Brendan. Brendan, are you aware of the year the Jaguars are having here in the background of what happened to them last year?
I am aware of the Jaguars.
Okay, so they could not be here right now if Liam Cohen was not hired. They deemed him the right guy. He did not want to work with Trent Baalke. Do you think the Jaguars made the right call? Because Trent Baalke was Joe Shane.
I understand that, but what you're saying, the Jaguars made the decision, right? Like, they made the decision.
Yeah, they didn't want to lose the coach.
Take on Liam Cohen. But the Giants have made the decision. We want to keep Shane. We think he's the right guy. For them to reverse course over Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah. You don't lose good head coaches because you're keeping a GM that shouldn't have been kept to begin with. That's the bottom line.
This is tough. I think I'm going to side with Sean on this. Not that I love Kevin Stefanski. If you missed it, you could rewind to 10 o'clock. I'm not anti-Kevin Stefanski. I'm more lukewarm to him than Sean is and others. But I kind of agree. If I identify, because what Joe Shane made clear yesterday is this is a group decision.
Yeah.
And by group decision, let's be honest, it's an ownership decision.
Ownership. Ownership's the one doing the interviews.
Ownership. Well, they're all doing the interviews. They're a part of it.
Okay. He's sitting in, but he made it clear yesterday that this is going to be an ownership call.
Okay. So it's an ownership decision. And I get a lot of fans not trusting ownership right now based on the hires of the last decade. Not going to argue that. But if they deem the person that they want is totally their guy, won them over, he's the guy, and his prerequisite is, I don't need you, Shane.
Yeah.
You got to do it. And I think you make a great example about what happened in Jacksonville, because that is how it played out, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
everybody wanted Bulkey out except Jacksonville ownership. They said, no, we want to stick with him. Until they went through the process interviewing coaches, the guy they identified and they wanted didn't want Bulkey, walked away, was going to go back to Tampa, and they said, we can't allow this to happen.
And that's a great kind of question on this process. Are there going to be coaches that feel that way about Shane? And if they do, would it cause the Giants to reverse course in a similar fashion to Jacksonville? Which I remember at the time, and being fair, none of us thought Trent Baalke deserved to keep his job, but the way that played out looked odd, and it made the Jaguars feel dysfunctional.
Yeah, and we also thought Liam Cohen was a terrible hire.
Right, well, because his first interview wasn't great.
Right.
That's what it came down to.
And I
think also the way he handled his exit in Tampa was not widely loved, is what I also heard. So, yeah, he came in with... I don't know if he's going to be the answer. He's done a great job, which is a reminder, as we learned with Joe Judge and maybe we learned with Aaron Glenn, that opening press conference does not tell you the whole story.
No.
In fact, Sirianni's a great example of that, too.
Yeah. Nick Sirianni, his big sell was, I play rock, paper, scissors with draft prospects to determine their competitive instinct. We laughed at him.
It's kind of makes sense, though.
Now, looking back, it was a smart tactic.
it's a good way to find out. Let's talk to Coach Ralph out on Long Beach. What's up, Coach Ralph?
Hey, Sean, I'll tell you, it's good to talk. I've been a Giant here 60 years, and my friend saying that game that meant nothing. Well, beating the Cowgirls would have been 10 losses was better than anything for me. Yeah. I was happy. I'm sitting in Long Beach on the boardwalk watching a couple of whales, and I'm telling you.
Well, turn off YouTube's WFAN page, then, will you?
Right on the boardwalk, and I'm saying to myself, let's get this guy Cignetti. Maybe he's got the magic touch. From James Madison?
Yeah.
Indiana, a basketball school?
He's done a good job, Coach Ralph. Here's the issue with Cignetti. Number one, age. Number two, why the hell is Kurt Cignetti leaving what he's building in Indiana or college at his age to go coach the mess that is the New York Giants right now? Why?
Well, because they're not a mess, as you've pointed out. They've got
I pointed it out?
Because they have a roster that can be... They have the kind of roster where them being the Patriots next year wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. And so if you feel that way, then why wouldn't a coach feel that way? Like, they have the best chance at a turnaround than any other team that has a coaching vacancy. I think Atlanta's up there, too. But when it comes to the quarterback, and you include that, it's an appealing job. You just answered Coach Ralph by saying, it's a crappy job. You think it's a crappy job now?
You're misunderstanding what I've said.
I must be misunderstanding you.
Do I think the Giants can be the Bears or Patriots next year? Yes. But I also am not sure. I'm not sure the Giants roster is nearly as good as they think it is. I think that they have building blocks. I think they have a left tackle. I think they have pass rusher. I think they have a good quarterback. But I think they got major questions up and down this roster that I'm not so sure gets brushed over. Also, Mike Vrabel's not Kevin Stefanski either, as much as I want Stefanski. You don't think that helped? Vrabel might be the top five coach in the league here. I think it's a big difference here.
Well, I get you. Well, when you look at the three teams that made the turnaround that we're all going to use as a guide, that were brought up a little bit during Joe Shane's press conference yesterday, the three examples are the Chicago Bears, the New England Patriots, and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
Right? One of them hired the ready-made, like, dream hire in Mike Vrabel.
Who made an AFC title game, the whole thing, right?
Yes, an established coach, also with a history with that franchise. The other two hired first-time head coaches.
Correct.
So as we have all talked about experience matters, the teams that we're viewing as, like, this is what the Giants should follow, they both brought in first-time coaches.
Well, and... we don't know how these playoffs are going to pan out, but as much as we're throwing bouquets, and I just complimented Liam Cohen, we've talked about Ben Johnson, they could easily be 2022 Brian Daboll, too. Like,
where it's one good year and then, I get
because
you.
What would we have said if we weren't working in New York at the time of 2022? We'd be pointing at it like Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
We talk about how much they got it right. The only one I know they got it right is Vrabel because he has had that success.
We will get to more of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. A little bit later on, we'll still hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougie. We're speaking today on the state of the New York Jets. But there were two interesting things that Joe Shane was asked yesterday, and we'll listen to what he had to say that's worthy of discussion. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. It's Evan and Tiki. Tiki off. He'll be back in a couple of days featuring Sean Morash.